Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you so much for listening. It's a treat. And as I've often said, a privilege to be able to tell these stories, some of them not particularly cheerful, to such a loyal and enthusiastic audience.
You're all so nice.
It's a delight. And one gets wonderful messages. And
we've had a few more followers as well. We're slowly...
Yep.
We'll get there.
Oh, absolutely.
Slowly, slowly catchy monkey.
Monkey. Mm-hmm.
Is that an appropriate phrase now? Probably not.
I don't know. I'm not in the woke division.
That's true.
I'm the un.
You're woke because you've identified that you're not woke.
Yes, I'm not woke.
Which is as woke as you can get, I imagine. The wisest man is the man who knows he knows nothing.
Yes. Who said that?
Socrates? Or Aristotle? Yeah.
Oh, could be.
I think it was Socrates. Let me search it. One of my favorite sayings.
Yes. Well, that certainly includes me. I know very little.
The wisest man. Socrates, I was right.
Socrates.
Or Socrates, as he's referred to by Bill and Ted.
Yes. I used to love Socrates. I love Plato. At the age of 16, I was obsessed. I used to write platonic dialogues. You can just see I was a bit of a nerd.
Cool. Bet you got all the girls with that.
I didn't get any girls.
Platonic dialogues.
Got no girls at all. Glaucon. I don't think that's what you really meant. Yeah. Well, Socrates. Oh, crikey. But
oh
it was
my
very
God, nice. That's so cute. Imagine if you still had them.
I did it for what we're doing, A-level general studies. It was a rather bizarre A-level, which in the end I didn't bother to sit because I'd done six others. And I thought, I can't be bothered.
Geoffrey wasn't at all bright as a child, by the way.
And, but I really enjoyed.
I mean, to be fair, I did Greek oration, so I think probably on the nerd stakes we are not dissimilar.
Yes, we probably have a shared nerd status, which I think God is rather a compliment. If there was anyone who was in the sports division, it was Dan.
Yeah, my brother Dan is very sporty.
Yeah, he good cricketer.
Me, not so much.
Very good golfer. I used to play cricket, but that was a long time ago when I could still see the ball. But nowadays I can see the wretched thing.
I think this stage is not the stage of life for cricket.
No. But mind you, when I played, you didn't have any such thing as a helmet or anything like that.
If any of our listeners like cricket, my client, Miles Jupp, is doing a podcast now called Middle Please Umpire with Mark Wood, who's on the England cricket squad. And it's very good.
I'm sure it is.
So if you like cricket, I would highly recommend that. It's a good listen. And they get incredible guests.
David Gower.
David Gower. They've had like Joe Root and... They've had lots of the England cricket team. Yeah.
Well, when we grow up, perhaps we can have guests.
I mean, yeah. It's something that we've been aiming towards for some time.
Yes. I think we've managed it once.
We'll be working towards it. But we did manage it once. So.
Well, I think we probably, once we're out of these particular conditions, we might struggle and get a couple of other guests along. That might be fun to do.
Yeah. Weirdly, I think it's probably been easier to have guests if you do it all on Zoom and things.
On Zoom.
But anyway.
We'll see.
We've done it once. I'm sure we can do it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We must be able to.
Well, there are quite a lot of people I can think of we'd like to talk to. And
yeah.
Be, you know, absolutely appropriate to the to what oh, this
yeah,
is about.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, well, I mean, it was always in the plan. Just getting... The COVID has not helped us.
No. Well, to be fair, hasn't helped anyone.
Can't do any live, anything live
no.
either.
It's simply beyond us. But never mind.
Never mind.
We're still going.
We've still podcasted all the way through.
We have. We are going to take a little break.
We're going to take a break after this episode for a bit. Not very long.
Not for long.
Just for a bit. Good to have a break.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of episodes in this series, so.
We actually haven't done as many as we normally do.
No, okay.
But we didn't have a hugely long break in between the last one and this one.
That's right.
I think we've only done 15 or 16 of this season.
No, we didn't. We thought it was important, particularly given lockdown. So
yeah, I mean, we've barely taken, I think over summer maybe we took a, but I mean, we took a tiny break over Christmas. But yeah, we haven't really.
No, because we thought it was important that people had something new to listen to.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of notes saying, you know, this is important to my Monday morning.
Yeah, yeah, same.
So it won't be a long break.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Oh, dear, on these stories, goodness me.
Well, as it's the last one, Jeffrey and I were working out what to do. I said, oh, Dad, please can we do some Victorian something of woman something, because that's what I like. So I found some bizarre story for Jeffrey to go away and research.
Actually, it's a very, very good story.
I'm really looking forward to it. So what are we calling this one?
I think we call it Eliza Fenning.
Eliza Fenning. Okay, here we go with Eliza Fenning. Okay.
Elizabeth, always known as Eliza Fenning, was born, we think, in 1792. The daughter of very poor parents who was put to service. I think her father was a potato farmer, but it's not entirely clear.
Where is she from? Well, we don't know. Not sure.
Not from Ireland.
Okay.
She was spirited, a touch rebellious, not one to use the phrase they would have used in those days, to know her place. She had a bit of sparkle, a bit of something about her. Anyway, towards the end of January 1815, and remember this is before Waterloo. Waterloo did not take place until Sunday the 18th of June 1815. So it's important to have the background to this case in your mind. Towards the end of January, she joined the staff of a man called Orlibar Turner, his wife, Margaret, son, and daughter-in-law. Now, Margaret was only a little older than Eliza Fenning, but Eliza Fenning was employed as a cook. I suspect there was a good deal of rivalry between the two, and Mrs. Turner didn't much care for this rather spirited young woman who her husband had employed. There was clearly some tension. I always like this part of the story is that at one point, Mrs. Turner discovered Eliza Fenning making away, quotes, in a state of some undress to the room of the two male apprentices that also lived in the house in 68 Chancery Lane in central London. She was, as I say, a spirited girl. Anyway, on the 21st of March, 1815, Eliza Fenning prepared a meal for Turner, his son Robert, daughter-in-law Charlotte, which consisted of floury yeast dumplings with beef steak inside them, and produced it. At this point, interestingly, Napoleon had only just been ruled an outcast in France. So I think it's important to remember that what was going on in this background. Everybody who ate the dumplings became ill very quickly, vomiting, including Eliza Fenning. And one of the male apprentices who had sampled the dumplings.
Said dumplings.
Even though Eliza had warned him not to. Now that becomes significant later. Okay? It transpired that there was arsenic in the dumplings. Now, nobody died. It's very important to remember. No one died as a result of the arsenic poisoning. However, these being complicated times, it was regarded as a nasty crime. Remember, we don't have the Bow Street Runners. It's long before Peel introduced a police force. Fenning is summoned to Hatton Garden police station, where she's questioned. And on the 11th of April, 1815, she appears in court at the Old Bailey, charged with attempting to murder the Turners with arsenic. To say that the trial was one-sided would be an understatement. In those days, you were not allowed defence counsel. The only thing you could do was to make a statement to the court. The prosecution had free rein, and they certainly took it. The evidence was presented that Eliza had been alone during the preparation of the dumplings, that she had access to the arsenic that was in the drawer in Turner's office.
What would you have arsenic for?
Usually rats.
Oh, right, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a rat poison. But for all sorts of other things as well. She used to be charged with making up the fire, and the kindling was kept in the same drawer as the arsenic in Turner's drawer. This is where the suggestion that Eliza warned off one of the male apprentices comes into play, because it was implied that she knew the dumplings were poisoned. It was entirely circumstantial, the evidence against her. I mean, absolutely entirely. There was no... I mean, it would be laughed out of court. It wouldn't even get to court in a modern court. But we are talking about 1815. And England is in a state of turmoil. Are we going to win in Waterloo? Are we going to defeat Napoleon? Are the French going to invade? We are frightened. And we're particularly frightened, and I think it's important to say this too, of what you might describe as a working class rebellion. Remember, it's only 4 years before the Peterloo Massacre in Manchester, where a large number of people died after being charged by 600 mounted army officers.
Yeah.
So England is in a state of high anxiety. Eliza Fleming said she wasn't guilty and that she too had eaten the dumplings and got sick, which Mrs. Turner confirmed. But Eliza Fenning also said that Mrs. Turner had a spite against her. The prosecution did not allow a single character witness to appear for Eliza Fenning, not even her father. They produced witness after witness who said that she had every opportunity to poison the Turners. No one pointed out that the Turners hadn't died. It's as if she was being made a scapegoat for the fear of the mob, of the poor, of the working class. She was dignified throughout. The Recorder of London, a man called Sir John Sylvester, well, the Recorder of London, I should explain, is the senior judge at the Old Bailey, the Central Criminal Court. And that post still exists to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky enough to know several men have been recorders of the Central Criminal Court.
But there's never been a woman one.
Not yet. I'm not saying that. I'm not taking the Brenda Hale position here.
Just saying.
The jury retired, as the contemporary reports have it, for a few minutes and came back convinced that she was guilty. The Recorder of London has summed up against her. I mean, essentially pointed out that it was a bias summing up, which clearly would not work today. It was a fix. On hearing the sentence, which was that she would be hanged.
What?
She had a fit and was carried from the dock, screaming and insensible.
I mean, she didn't kill anyone.
No. Popular opinion felt that the sentence was wrong and that she was innocent. And even Orlebar Turner said he wanted to petition to save her from the gallows. The recorder, Sir John Sylvester, went to see Turner in his house in 68 Chancery Lane and pointed out to him that if he did so, he, the recorder, would investigate the Turner family for the crime. Turner backed away.
Mm.
On the 25th of July, 1815, and now we're after Waterloo, the then Lord Chancellor and the recorder had a meeting in which they concluded there was no reason to change the sentence. I would have thought there was every reason to change the sentence, but I bring a sensibility from the 21st century, not from the 18th. The 19th.
I mean, even then, it's still pretty strong. You're hanging someone for potentially murdering, but but not even that. Yeah, there's no real evidence that she did it.
Eliza Fenning was hanged on the 26th of July, 1815, along with two other men. There was a gallows was produced, because in those days the hangings took place outside the Old Bailey in what was then Newgate Street.
I could go watch them.
45,000 people turned up.
45,000 people?
And it was apparently an extraordinary sombre occasion, because almost the entire crowd were convinced
she was innocent.
That she was innocent.
45,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bonkers.
On the scaffold, she was wearing a white dress and her best lilac leather boots. And she said, and I quote, "Before the just and almighty God, and by the faith of the holy sacrament I have taken, I am innocent of this offence, of what I am charged." There was a silence fell when she was hanged. Remember, this is a girl. Well, some people say she was 21, some 22, some 23, but she's certainly a girl in her early 20s. Hardly had a life in front of her. Although she was engaged to be married, all these things never really seemed to play into the trial and what happened in 68 Chancery Lane. At her funeral, which, believe it or not, was round the corner in St George's in Bloomsbury.
No.
Yes. 10,000 people came.
Oh, my goodness.
They were standing on the rooftops, in windows. It was a gigantic event.
Poor Eliza Fenning.
Thousands on the street, but there was no violence. None whatever. There were the presence of constables, but there was no demonstration. Although the following day, she was actually, the funeral was the 31st of July. The following day, a mob of 1,000 people gathered outside Turner's house at 68 Chancery Lane, threatening to burn it down. They dispersed, but returned the next day. But in the end, no damage was done. Well, these were different times, but The theory is that Eliza Fenning was hanged as an example to other servants against threatening their masters or mistresses, what was called the wickedness of servants. Robert Turner, the son, was alleged, I say alleged, to have confessed to the crime that Eliza Fenning was hanged for, but we can't be sure it's true. But just look at what she had to confront. No defence counsel, no appeal court. The only thing you could do is petition the Home Secretary. And she was one of six women hanged in 1815.
God, that's a lot.
Yes, as you can imagine, quite a lot of people were against it, not least because no one had died. But what was it really about? Why did she eat the dumplings knowing they were poisoned?
How do you know she knew they were poisoned?
Well, I don't. But that.
I see what you mean. If she'd actually done it, why would she eat them?
Yes.
On the risk of making herself sick.
Oh, the prosecution had an answer for that.
What was it?
Murder-suicide.
Oh, well, that's a terrible answer.
I mean,
she's not a cult leader.
No, she isn't a cult leader at all. Quite the opposite.
Do you think she was having an affair with Holy Bar Brown? Holy Bar.
Well,
Turner?
I think it's fair to say that, as I said at the beginning, she was a spirited girl. One of the things that Mrs. Turner, Margaret, really didn't like about her was that she could read. That she was altogether, you know, aware of herself.
Margaret sounds rubbish.
Mm. She's insufficiently respectful to her, she said. And there was no summing up of the defence case in it. That didn't come in until 1836.
What, summing up itself?
Summing up by a defence counsel. There wasn't one.
I mean, the judicial system in the Victorian time was like all over the shop, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, it was fair to say that Dickens...
I was going
to
say, because in Bleak House, he just absolutely like...
Dickens was...
Tears it apart.
Dickens was absolutely certain she was innocent.
Jarndyce and Jarndyce.
Yes, absolutely.
The wards of Jarndyce.
Was she hanged in case there was a rebellion? Was that 45,000 crowd a potential Peterloo? We really don't know.
Hmm. I'm just so fascinated by the whole kind of servant to master dynamic in the Victorian times.
Yes, but it is fair to say, and I think I'm not distorting the truth, that there must have been a reasonable doubt that she was innocent, and yet she was convicted as if there was no reasonable doubt.
Also, the thing is, right, is that they had to take her to the, you know, the Turners had to accuse her and take her down to the police station and say, this is what she's done, didn't they? They could have just not done anything.
Mm. I suspect Mrs. Turner had much to do with that.
Mm.
She'd only worked for them for 7 weeks when the quotes poisoning happened.
I wonder what was going on with the Turners, and they did want another... wanted something to go...
Yes. Something was clearly going on.
Something was going on.
Something
dodgy was going on with the Turners.
Yes, but also there was something dodgy going on with the Recorder of London, because there can be no doubt that that's summing up.
And then was Chancery Lane also still like the law area back then?
Yes.
So like, do you think there was like some kind of connection between...
I think there probably was. And it's also interesting that Turner, the employer, was a law stationer.
Mm.
So yes, there was a lot of... collusion, I think.
Something going on.
But the person who's paid the price here is a spirited, smart, interesting young woman at the very beginning of her life who pays the ultimate price for it.
I mean, being hanged for it is insane.
Well, especially as no one was killed.
Are there lots of cases like that?
Yes. But I hope this goes some of the way to giving you a good Victorian example to talk about. I think it is a very interesting case.
Poor Eliza. Who knew? I didn't know anything about her. I just Googled Victorian. Interesting women from Victorian times.
It's interesting that when the whole debate about capital punishment and hanging in particular bubbled to the surface in the second half of just the second half of the 20th century,
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lisa Fenning's case was much used.
Was it?
Much discussed.
We've also covered the last woman to be hanged in the
Ruth Ellis.
Yeah.
Ruth Ellis. Yes, I mean, hanging is particularly barbaric. But the fact that Eliza Fenning was, to my mind, absolutely innocent and yet was made a spectacle of, a scapegoat for class war, is just intolerable. But it does give you an insight into that Victorian sensibility, doesn't it?
How much control the upper classes that felt they had over.
Yes.
I mean, you weren't even classed as a citizen if you didn't have money, really.
No, well, at that point, actors were still classed as vagrants.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't vote.
Nope.
If you didn't own anything.
Nope.
Didn't have any. I mean, this is just men. I'm not even talking about women.
No, I'm making the point. I remember talking to Donald Sinden at length about the fact that it was only 1825 when 10 years before, when actors were not any more regarded as rogues and vagabonds.
Mm. Yeah, bonkers.
You have a completely different society, completely different.
It changed
structure.
So much during the Victorian times.
It did.
Well.
Yeah.
Really did.
And it's unimaginable that this case could happen now.
True.
I'm not to say there aren't mistakes, however.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Big time.
There's no doubt of that. But it's a snapshot of a country in crisis.
Mm.
It wins in Waterloo, mostly by luck. It's frightened of the mass. Remember, it's before the Reform Act. Before the first changes to the voting structure in England. It's corrupt in many ways. The rotten boroughs, members of parliament are elected by, you know, three friends.
House of Lords isn't that different to that, is it?
I'm not rising to that, mate. But, you know, the you have this extraordinary society, which is quite difficult to recapture today without a real effort. And that's why I think it's quite useful to remember about Waterloo and Peterloo and all of the things that were going on, the Chartists, which would have come not much later. But that, this poor woman in her early 20s was sacrificed.
Probably, you know, wrong place, wrong time, whatever, wrong person to be in.
Well, I don't know, really.
Well, you know what I mean, as in, like, circumstances get you into a place where you go and end up working with people that don't like you.
Yes, but I think they probably didn't like, or certainly Mrs. Turner didn't like, was that she was spirited, that she had her own opinions, and she could read. I know that sounds ridiculous.
No, I know. Nothing worse than an educated servant.
Yes, we must educate our masters, as they said much later in the 19th century. So that is the case of Eliza Fenning.
Eliza Fenning. Thanks so much. Thanks for indulging me.
No, it's
a pleasure. And a bit of Victoriana.
Well, I know you like poisoners, so we shall certainly do.
I love a poisoner.
Certainly do some more poisoners.
Can't go wrong. I mean, there's something about arsenic in the dumplings, though, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
There really is something about it. I'm I'm just a big fan. They were my favourite Poirots also. Always the, you know, the poison pills in the chocolates or the, yeah, you know.
Well, Agatha Christie loved poisonings.
Yeah, I know.
Because she worked
a pharmacist.
In a pharmacy, didn't she? In Torquay.
Just my absolute favourites, all of the poison ones.
Yes, poisoning is a good one. I'm
rat poison in the porridge.
Yes. I like the poison dart in that one when on the aeroplane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are always good ones. Love a poison dart.
Yeah.
Hallucinogenic poison darts are used heavily in Young Sherlock Holmes, one of my favourite films as a child.
Very good. Well, darling, yes, thank you.
Thanks for all the chat about poison.
No, it's very interesting. You know, poisons are very much a kind of very
intimate.
You
don't really get them now, though, do you?
Not in the same way.
Poisoners.
First one podcast we ever did was a poisoner.
Teacup poisoner.
Yeah, Graham Young.
But, he was, what, in the 50s?
Yeah, yes.
But, yeah, you don't get them.
Put it in the tea.
You don't get them so much.
No. Nowadays, you tend to get more hospitals, you know.
Angels of death are poisoners.
Yeah, sort
of. But I sort of class them in a different category.
In a different way, yeah. But
slightly different. There's something different about domestic poisoning, I think. It's one thing if you're, you know, a medical professional and you have access to drugs that you can control people with.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the effort of injecting the chocolate with the thing, whatever it is, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it happens to be, yeah. Anyway, I do feel deeply sorry for Eliza Fenning.
Me too.
And I wish to preserve her memory.
Well, here's to Eliza Fenning.
Here's to Eliza Fenning.
Thanks,
Dad. Mo, what are we going to do during our rest? Rest.
Rest.
Rest, yes.
Absolutely.
Small rest.
Well, it's nice, you see, for me, because I have to get up early on a Saturday to come and do the podcasts. So it means I get a bit more of a lie-in.
Yeah. Good thing.
Post my working week.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
But no, it's we'll just have a brief rest.
Okay.
And then we'll be back.
Yeah, we will.
With more murder.
Blood ties.
Well, thank you very much to all the people that help us, to our producer Sam Brain, to my brother Dan who did the music, my friend George who drew our caricature, to Audio Boom for hosting us, to Jeffrey for doing all the hard work, and for you the listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you the listeners. I couldn't agree with Molly more. I always also thank Molly who came up with this idea, and I must say, as I've said before, it's one of the things I'm most proud of. For all the things I've done in my career, I am very, very proud of this podcast. So thank you all. And as I often say, sadly, bad things happen to good people. So do be careful out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.